Stephen Israelis, a modern cello virtuoso, is also a writer. And in his recent book titled The Cello Suites, it asks the question, what did the great composer intend in these brilliant compositions? And at times, what were the real notes? Finding meaning on multiple levels has been a lifetime pursuit for many cellists, musicologists, and historians. Welcome back to A Cello Rondo. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we play Sherlock Holmes in a quest to understand the six compositions J.S. Bach left to the cello. The truth of the matter is, anyone who worked with Bach, employed him, or anyone who touched his life in any way at all, be it a prince, a duke, royalty, jailkeeper, wife, parent, brother, or one of his 21 children, or whomever, is really only a footnote in the search for what Bach was doing on any given day of his life. We search for meaning in restaurant receipts, letters, newspapers, or whatever can be found linking to his life, even his mundane daily routines. Israelis and countless scholars have delved into his transcripts, looking at every detail, looking for clues about what the great composer intended in his tempos, his phrasing, and even what notes are his, because there are no less than four transcriptions of the Bach suites, all copies made either during his life or shortly after, by his wife, colleagues, and one by his son. There are no known copies in Bach's hand, no originals, Bach's version lost. Was it destroyed or repurposed because paper was so valuable? We might never know. There's another recent book that's titled The Bach Suites. It's by Eric Sibelin, and it's really well-researched. But Sibelin never played the cello like Israelis does, and Israelis plays the suites as well as anyone I know to date. But Sibelin's book is a really nice read, and I learned a lot. One thought that lingered after reading Sibelin's book was, what would it be like to stumble across the original manuscript of Bach Suites? It could happen. In my fantasy, I imagine it was somewhere in Canada. I don't know why. Something in Sibelin's book made me think of that. But Canada isn't as dense as Europe, and I can't imagine the manuscript would be overlooked in Germany, no matter how far under the ground it was buried. Finding the original manuscript of the cello suites in Bach's hand, it would be like finding the Holy Grail. You would have an article that every scholar, every museum would want, and probably demand you hand over immediately. I'm not even sure if you would get any money for it. When something is that precious, the world gets kind of greedy. The maker of the cello that I play identified a Stradivarius about 8 years ago, and it was stolen about a half century before that. He knew to contact the FBI the minute it was verified, and he knew not to talk to the person who found it in her attic closet, literally, until the investigation was over. The instrument eventually went to the rightful owner, and the finder didn't get any money because it was a stolen instrument, and the luthier that correctly identified the Strad got a very small finder's fee. Think what you will about that, but when it comes to precious artifacts, the machines of our world move in sort of self-righteous ways. Here's another example. There was a movie I saw on Netflix last year, The Dig. It's a true story of a woman who finds a ship from the Anglo-Saxon period buried on her property. In the story, she has a hunch about a particular mound, which among several of them was the only one that yielded a find. Just her looking at the shape of the mound for years made her come to this conclusion. Well, anyways, once the British Museum gets wind of it, they pretty much take over and steal it, because it was way too valuable and way too important. She made some demands, but the museum pretty much just paid lip service to what she asked and then proceeded to do whatever they wanted. Some people are pursuing greatness, but they will only be remembered as a minor detail in the lives of the people who make real change in the world. You can find the original Bach suites in the master's own hand, or uncover a Stradivarius, or an artifact from the Dark Ages. But will you be remembered? Better to write a piece of music, carve an instrument, or invent something that changes the landscape of our culture if you wish to leave your mark. Not everyone wants to leave a legacy, or they haven't thought about a legacy, but most of us want to be remembered. Was Bach humble? Most people think he was pretty pompous. He knew his work was significant. His sons knew it. Many of his contemporaries knew it. Mozart, Beethoven, Handel knew it. And Bach was deliberate on preserving his legacy. He had several works engraved to that end, like the Art of the Fugue. Leonard Bernstein said, "Bach served only God, that his music was written to please only God." I've thought about that, and it makes sense that he wrote a lot of church music. And today, everything he wrote is appropriate to be played in a church. Maybe this is what kept Bach sane when everybody around him was treating him poorly. Sometimes it seems like Bach has reached sainthood, because we parse through every detail of his life the way we would a person who changed the course of history. And you can make a list of the people like that, and I don't think there are that many composers on this list. It reminds me of an old joke. They say Beethoven was man. He sweated, he suffered, and he reworked his music until it was finally great. And it was great. And Mozart was like an angel who visited us from heaven. He simply wrote, straight out, no sketches. He wrote finished works, first time writing it down. He was a genius. He was an angel. And then there's Bach, and Bach is God. And there you have it. He's the greatest composer who ever lived. He also wrote pieces straight out of his head, and he wrote so much. It would take a few years to write by hand a copy of all his works, meaning 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, multiplied by some number. Someone figured it out for sure. Bach cello suites were hidden and found several times, and many writers and musicologists have followed the multiple lives and mysteries of the manuscripts. There's even dispute about the instrument he wrote them for. The story of the suites has become a detective novel. The search for clues involves handwriting analysis, a spell in a jail for the author J.S. Bach, tragic loss of his wife, searching for receipts and letters, and all the people connected to his life. If we go backward from the present, we have at least 4 known manuscripts that are described in Isserles' book, very neatly, or as clearly as one could possibly try. It was Pablo Casals who stumbled on a copy when he was very young, and he persevered in studying them for 10 years, and he brought them to our attention. But back in the time of Robert Schumann, the suites were also known, and Schumann composed piano accompaniment to the first 3 suites. It was one of the last compositions he worked on, but they were destroyed or lost. Why Schumann chose this project, I don't know, but it was after composing his cello concerto, his next-to-last published work. It seems like the cello concerto and the Bach suites just mingled together in Schumann's mind in the months before he fell ill. And what really intrigues me is there are these 11 bars that sound like a piece of a Bach suite in the development of the first movement of his cello concerto. But back to our detective story, we can also delve into how many pieces, including the original manuscript for the cello suites, were lost. People would borrow. Maybe he needed paper to go to the butcher. And the Bach suites were, whatever, are gone. Honey, dear Anna, what happened to the cello suites? Jacob needs to make a copy. My dear Sebastian, I needed the paper to get pork chops this week. Not to worry. I saved a copy I made. Okay, I'll tell Jacob the copy doesn't leave the house. He'll stop by tomorrow. Sounds good. Do you mind watching the children while I copy your cantata this week? The choir master never returned the last 3 cantatas, and I didn't have a copy saved. That's a shame. Those were my best ones. Screenplay to be continued, maybe. So this concludes our mystery. What happened to the Bach cello suites? As always, thanks for supporting live music. Have a great week. You can check the show notes at accelerandocast.com. If you like this episode, please share it with a few friends. I'll see you next time.